Blog Talk Radio.
I do have permission to play the music over the phone. I'll be able to speak to you guys in a minute. And good evening, and welcome to another edition of Cannabis. As always, I am your host, Glenn Keel. I am also the co-founder and coordinator for the Creative Care Beacon, and we are the Ohio chapter that supports the Human Solution International. Real quick about that and what they're doing. They are a 501c3 roots organization that stands for and against the human rights violation. We do support a lot of cannabis cases and people that are serving time for cannabis. A little about that. Peggy and I, we went through an ordeal lasting 3 years, and we didn't go through that alone. We had the Human Solution International supporting us throughout the entire process going through, and I'm very thankful to have a lot of the people that stood behind us for that. The Human Solution International, if you want, you can always go over to www.thsintl.org and give them a check out. And if you or a loved one are going through something, there's a defendant section there for you to check out and fill in. And definitely, you know, listen, we don't know you're going through something unless you reach out to us. So I encourage you guys, if you or a loved one are going through something, please definitely go over to www.thsintl.org and fill it out. But again, about the Human Solution, what they do right now is they're involved with the Walk for Change, and what they're doing is they're going around and feeding a lot and lots of people. They're doing a lot of gift basket or handout baskets, food baskets, and gas vouchers for people that are in destitute areas that can't get to a lot of this stuff. So listen, you know, part of our show is brought to you by the Holistic Cloud. If you are in the Northeast Ohio area and you wish to go and visit them, you can always go to Bel Air, Ohio, down to 3048 Belmont Street and give them a check out. And if you can't get there, you can always go and check them out on the internet at www.theholisticcloud.com. We have another sponsor that is brought. It is the, if you can see this here, it's the Patriot Medical Hemp. It is a vet owned by Mr. Piper. Jeffrey Piper owns that. He's a vet himself, and he's a tried and true product. So you can always go check him out on Instagram and or here on Facebook under Patriot Medical Hemp. Something I go through every show, and I'm going to continue every show because it's very vital and it's very important that we, you know what our rights and what our rights are. It's very important that we know that and we stand up for that. And we stand for and with other people that are going through that. One person for right now that now is going through it, and I know you're not going to be able to see here on the radio, but if you would please jot down a freelance glore and go over and post it on Facebook if you can. And you can tag Carrie Cannon and or Tracy Glore Pike, his mom. And what they do is they add this every month. It goes to the White House for a clemency, asking for leniency. Nobody should, serve any amount of time in prison or jail for cannabis. Another set of people that we're advocating and pushing for is please drop charges against Adele and Aaron Wisdom. People that are there in Missouri that are going through, another state that, has some kind of a program that, charging people for cannabis. Zach Salazar is another case there in Missouri. So definitely, reach out to them and see what you can do to help. Another person that, always joins the show, Dana Bland is the chapter coordinator for Hope for Change and End of Prohibition, the Missouri chapter of the Human Solution. So you can always find him, really easy guy to find and talk to. But if you're Missouri and you want to know what you can do to help, that's the way you can help. We have chapters in all states, so please definitely reach out to the Human Solution. Now, my guest tonight, and I hope I'm not going to botch her name, so I hope she'll set me, you know, straight or later. Jenna Champagne is going to join us. She is a RN, BSN also. Now, listen, this lady's got a huge host of things that goes on. She's a founding member of the Cannabis Nurse Network, serving on CNN, the Cannabis Nurse Network Speakers Bureau, as leadership. Jenna was also awarded Leader of Nursing and Outstanding Author of Cannabis Nurse Media of 2019. And she was also nominated and won the award for Nurse Educator of 2020. Jenna also offers accredited cannabis nurse education programs and also serves as a Cannabis Colleagues Professor, excuse me, teaching graduate students medical practitioners through John Patrick University Masters of Integrative Medicine degree program. Now, that's just a few of the things. She's an author. She's also helping producers create optimal CBD in their products. For, you know, she's got top 10 CBD 2020 designation using Jenna's formula. She also serves as medical advisor and patient advocate for the United Patients Group, dedicated to educating consumers and with reliable cannabis information. And, you know, that's the key word is reliable cannabis information, because there's a lot of information out there that is myth. So you got to watch and know who you're getting your information from. Nurse Jenna is also a member of the Oregon Cannabis Clinical Group and volunteers of the Patient Care Subcommittee. She also serves as a volunteer on the Patient Care Subcommittee of the Oregon Cannabis Commission and the Ryan's Law Oregon Advocacy Team. Now, listen, you know, I'm going to have her on, and I want her to go through, you know, being a nurse with this accredited background, you know, teaching why cannabis. So we'll find out that from her here in just a bit when we join. So if you guys want to join and you have any questions or you want any concerns or you hear me misspeak or something that you don't feel is right, you can always definitely give us a call at 516-418-5539. One quick thing, please definitely support our, you know, plant prisoners that are going through serving time. You know, definitely if you can reach out to them. And a good way you can do that is over at the Canna Convict Project site, and or you can go to freedomgrowforever.org, and either one of them has a list of plant prisoners that you can write to. Lance Gore is serving 10 years. He would appreciate a letter from you. You know, moving right along, we're going to go ahead and we're going to have Jenna join us here, and we're going to get right into tonight's topics and get right into it. Good evening. How are you?
Hello, Glenn. I'm good. How are you tonight?
I'm very good. Thank you. I hope I got your name right. Yeah, right?
It's Jenna Champagne. You got it.
All right. Good deal. I'm glad I'm on. Now, listen, Jenna, I want to ask, you know, with, you know, being an RN and with the background that you have and being a teaching professor, why can't, you know, I know why, because I've read your bio and I understand why. Specifically, what about cannabis versus, you know, pharmaceutical medicine was it for you?
So for me, my cannabis journey began as a patient, and I tell people I'm a cannabis patient who happens to be a nurse, and I had some pretty phenomenal outcomes with my cannabis therapy, which, you know, I suffered a major health collapse in 2012, and initially saw cannabis just as an alternative to opioids for pain. And, you know as a nurse what that opioid pathway looks like for patients, and it's not pretty, so I was very motivated to find something else to address my pain issues. And cannabis, in addition to addressing my pain and managing it effectively without pharmaceuticals, went on to alleviate my brain fog, which is kind of the opposite of the stigma, and eventually reverse my autoimmune markers, which is unheard of with the pharmaceutical or mainstream approach. So that really got my attention, and I started deep diving and into the research and trying to figure out how is this even possible. And so that began my journey into learning about cannabis. And a couple of years later, my daughter with autism suffered a major puberty crisis, really severe level behaviors, including, self-injury, aggression towards others, you know, property destruction. I had holes in every wall and holes through doors in my house. And cannabis went on to alleviate her situation effectively without having to resort to harmful, you know, mental health medications. So those are sort of my passion makers in the cannabis industry.
Now, those are typical signs those are normal signs for somebody with, you know, autism, that because, you know, autism, they don't see things the same way we do. They don't hear things and they don't process things. So I imagine, you know, puberty for somebody with autism would be a absolute shock. And those are kind of behaviors that typically formulate from people with autism. Is that correct?
Yes, it's estimated that 50% of kids with autism go through a puberty crisis, you know, similar to the one my daughter suffered. And so it's very, very common. And, you know, you sort of hear about it as your kid is younger and, like, watch out for the puberty years. And you think, oh, not my kid. She's so sweet and cuddly and eager to please. But, you know, it just goes to show it can happen to anybody. And, you know, I began researching cannabis for autism as well, obviously, and, you know, went on to learn that autism is, at its root, an endocannabinoid deficiency, for which cannabis supplementation from the plant seamlessly fills in for those gaps in their vital nutrients. And my daughter's story, I don't know if you can see this, actually published on the cover of Cannabis Industry Magazine in 2017, and it's sold in Barnes & Noble nationwide. That was kind of like coming out of the cannabis closet as a nurse, where I declared to the world that, you know, not only was I a nurse, but I was a cannabis patient, and also including my daughter with autism with cannabis.
Right.
So that was a big turning point in my industry career, I guess.
Now, I've had other nurses on, and I'm going to ask you as I ask them, because people are going to be shocked at your answer. Mm-hmm. When you were going through school, going through all your medical background, getting to be an RN and BSN, did you learn about the endocannabinoid system? Did they teach you about that system? Was that one of, you know, because they teach you all the systems. I mean, in order to be a nurse, an effective nurse, you have to know all these systems that interact with each other. So was there classes or somebody teaching about the endocannabinoid system that we have or born with?
You know, we learned about every other system in the body through anatomy and physiology and, you know, even, you know, looking at the root causes of disease. Never mentions the endocannabinoid system, even though we've known about it since the early 90s, you know, thanks to Dr. Raphael Mechoulam. And so this is really important for patients to understand, because they'll say, I went to my doctor and they don't know anything about cannabis. Why could that be? You know, in their defense, we did not learn about this in nursing school. They don't teach it in medical school. And, you know, after, you know, experiencing the outcomes I did with my daughter and myself, I went on to become a grower and then a patient caregiver and then began doing really formal patient education consultations, educated thousands of patients. And in 2019, my state of Oregon decided that licensed nurses were not allowed to educate cannabis patients. So I pivoted and began educating medical professionals, thinking, you know, I could spend that same hour with a medical professional and reach so many more patients. So that was sort of my pivot into educating, you know, nurses through accredited content in my college course at John Patrick University.
Right. And now,
because there's such a need for it.
Right. Now, John Patrick, now I understand. They're breaking through and they're coming around. But to get to where you're at, to teaching nurses and doctors and stuff about the endocannabinoid, you're a professor, and that's what you do. You teach these nurses and doctors about the endocannabinoid system and the plant that now, for a university to back you and to allow you to teach that is an amazing feat in itself, you know. You know, and it being done by a woman, and it's not, you know, a sexist thing at all, and it's not trying to be sexist, but you broke through that line that, you know, I think that a lot of people tried to push through and try to get some sort of college, some sort of place to educate about this, and there has never not been places that do this, and, you know, the university that you teach at is, you know, that's amazing that they allow you to do that. And I think John Patrick University should should be noted for a lot of people. But if you want, if you are an RN or if you're a nurse and you want to learn more about this, this is a place to go, because this right now we have the professor online with us talking, telling you. So, Jenna, for you, why teach about cannabis? What is the importance for people, for doctors and nurses? What's the importance of that?
Well, it is very important. I mean, cannabis is legal in most states in some form now. You know, CBD is pretty much accessible anywhere. And, you know, as medical professionals, we take oaths to help our patients weigh the risk versus benefit of all of their options for treating disease. And, you know, it's our obligation as medical professionals to understand cannabis and be able to educate about cannabis, or at least know its potential and outsource it, you know, to somebody that can handle that piece. And realize that when we weigh it against the pharmaceutical options and the mainstream approaches, you know, objectively looking at the risk, oftentimes cannabis has far more potential benefits and far fewer risk factors or side effects. I mean, just comparing it to something like opioid pain medications, which kill patients every 18 minutes of every day now?
Yeah.
Where cannabis has this unsurpassed safety profile and you know, often fill in and help people reduce their opioid doses or even wean completely off opioids very safely. And so when you look, you know, it's a matter of educating medical professionals to look beyond the stigma, look beyond the Schedule I placement, which, by the way, doesn't fit. Cannabis meets zero of the three criteria for Schedule I placement. We've been fighting it, you know, in federal courts since 1988 and winning, them saying, yes, let's deschedule it, and then they overturn it, and here we are like 30 years later fighting the same darn fight. Why is this? It's not in the best interest of patients, clearly. It's in the interest of profits and political entanglements that, you know, have prevented much progress. And so once medical professionals start to understand some of these things, it can help open their eyes, but really the game changer for a lot of them is seeing the outcomes in their patients. And that's when I would have a lot of them call me after I worked with their patients and they're reducing or weaning off their pharma, better quality of life, better function. They call and say, what is this about? How does this plant work? That's a good door opener. So, you know, as a patient and your patients that are listening, I just encourage you so much to share your stories, especially with your medical professionals, if you're comfortable doing that and you're in, you know, a state where you can legally do that without getting in trouble.
Right.
So important.
It is. It is very important to understand what the endocannabinoid system is and what it does for you and how, I mean, there's a lot of things that mimic. And, of course, you know, man, you know, made a horrible attempt by, you know, constructing Marinol, you know, and passing that off to people, you know, but there's only one plant on the entire earth that acts with our endocannabinoid system the way that it does, and that's cannabis. There's a lot of things that simulate that, but to truly, you know, heal, I believe that, you know, cannabis should be taught. The endocannabinoid system should be taught at, you know, even in basic health classes. And I think that, you know, should go back. And I think that, you know, junior high and high schoolers should start learning. They should, you know, that's where the education needs to start. Mm-hmm. The education system that we have dealing with our health is backwards, because it omits a lot of things that are beneficial to us. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, and most holistic approaches are not taught. You know, diet, exercise, stress management. I mean, you can include those with the endocannabinoid system and how high of impact those interventions can be. And once you understand the science, that underlying imbalances are the root cause of every disease process in the body. And the endocannabinoid system, when it's activated either by endocannabinoids that we produce, or if we're deficient, we can supplement seamlessly from the plant to fill in those deficiencies. It's going to promote homeostasis or balance throughout the body. And this is another area that really confuses medical professionals. They hear cannabis is good for everything, and they write it off as snake oil. And it's like, no, there's really a good scientific reason for this.
All right. I mean, you know, you look back over 100 years ago and nobody would have thought twice. I mean, it was part of, it was part of the medicine that people took. Cannabis was medicine back over 100 years ago. And it wasn't only, you know, into the late last century that, you know, cannabis was taken out of the pharmacology book itself as medicine. Mm-hmm. And I think
also out of our diet. So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I think I think that it needs to be a part of, you know, every diet. And I think, you know, and I hear a lot of times, I hear patients and people talk about, I'm living in the wrong state. And it's not the fact that you're living in the wrong state. You're just living with wrong walls. And that's what it comes down to. It's not that you're just living with wrong walls, because it's very unlawful to withhold this medicine. I mean, a lot of states, you have some kind of program completely around a lot of states that have absolutely no tolerance. Indiana is one of them, and they're completely surrounded by states that, you know, have a program one kind or another. And their governor, Eric Holcomb, you know, people sat and talked with him. And I think that, you know, they use, and I've heard it over and over with a lot of politicians and a lot of people, you know, that are in the power to be, that we need more research. You know, we need it studied more. And how much more do you, I mean, if somebody can't push a button on a computer and just look at what science has come through with cannabis and what there's proven, I think that, you know, them saying that, you know, continually saying that, you know, it needs to be researched more and we need more funding to research it, and there needs to be more study. I think that's just a cop-out.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're completely disregarding the fact that we have 5,000 years of historical use, that we've shown that cannabinoids in our bodies are vital nutrients for human health. You know, the fact that it used to be a basic human right and anybody could access it at any time. And not only were we using it as medicine, like our pharmacology, like you mentioned, but we were feeding it to animals. So it was in our meat, it was in our milk, it was in our eggs until Prohibition in 1937 started. And that also coincided with our heavy reliance on pharmaceuticals and an explosion of chronic illness in our population that has continued to worsen. You know, and so cannabis is intricately linked with this. And like I mentioned earlier, autism is endocannabinoid deficiency. So I even maintain that if we hadn't restricted access to cannabis in our country the last 100 years or so, 80 years, autism may not exist, and certainly not in the high numbers that we're seeing today.
Right.
So there's a huge link there.
There is. And I think that you've touched on that. You are also the founder of Autism Safe Haven, which is a 501c3 nonprofit that's dedicated to improving cannabis inclusive as part of autism care resources. You care to touch on that?
Sure. And so obviously this is, you know, near and dear to my heart. My daughter is 19 years old, and it's difficult to find placements where a child can go into a home environment and learn to be more independent as an adult without having the parents be on call to administer their cannabis needs, which can be expensive on some days with autism. Some days, you know, their usual regimen is not enough and they have a lot of breakthrough symptoms and you need to be dosing throughout the day. So it's really not respite for the parents. It's not, you know, providing autonomy or medical freedom to the residents either. And so this is something that I've been working on. And my focus right now is building for-profits to support the nonprofit 501c3. And so if you're at all interested in that, you know, or if you want to reach out to me directly, you know, my media kit website is JanaChampagne.com, just like my name that you see on the screen. And there's a contact form on there. And I'm happy to speak with anybody about any of these topics. So. Following patient needs has led me to doing a lot of things in the cannabis industry. So.
Right, and I think that's important, and I think it's important for people to understand. You're a patient as well, and it's not just that you're an educator. You're using your education to not only treat yourself, but that's how you're treating your daughter as well. So it's not that, you know, it's not, you're not just some run-of-the-mill nurse that's just spewing off. you're using, I mean, this is your lifestyle. This has become your lifestyle versus pharmaceuticals. And this is coming from a nurse, you know, that you know, like I said, your background, your list of credentials are amazing. And to be in the cannabis industry, you know, as far as an educator, I think that we need more people like you. I do have another set of husband and wife. He was a triage nurse, and she was a nurse as well. And they're both now cannabis nurses as well, and they educate on cannabis too. And I think that we need more people like you guys out there teaching and letting them know and let people know. And I think that there's going to be some kind of push for a re-education on cannabis use and what cannabis is and the endocannabinoid system itself. And I think that needs to even go back to elementary and junior high and high school. I think that the stigma behind, you know, just they know that drugs and cannabis being lumped in with everything else is beyond, you know, prohibition time. It's time for real seriousness about this.
I agree. I fully agree with descheduling. You know, I agree that we should be teaching this more openly and freely. And, you know, this is why, and it's so funny you mentioned being in Indiana, and John Patrick University is in Indiana, and they are very much trailblazing. They're the first master's degree for medical practitioners, and it's a master's of integrative medicine with a cannabinoid science concentration. So it's for those that really want to level up their credentials. And then I also have accredited content for nurses through Cannabis Nurses Network. I'm also mentoring nurses one-on-one and helping them, you know, learn the critical thinking aspects, because it is a bit of a jump to go from, okay, here's the endocannabinoid system theory and science, to how do you apply this to patient situations effectively. And I, you know, I was lucky enough to learn all this organically. As a grower, I very quickly learned that different cultivars or strains are not created equal for every use. You know, I personally was always, I'm always seeking strains or cultivars that are good for pain. Certainly not all of them are good for pain.
Right.
So, you know, that to me really motivated me to learn about the different cannabinoids and the different terpenes and how the different combinations can be used to actually target specific symptoms or specific patient needs. I also, through this process, learned that not all products on the market are created equal, and only about 10% of them are actually optimal therapeutic or medical quality. And so I have CannabisNurseApproved.com, which helps patients maneuver, you know, the different products on the market and find those that really are optimal quality or flow criteria, which is flower-derived, lab-tested, organic, and whole plant spectrum. And we offer free nurse guidance on that website as well, CannabisNurseApproved.com. So I really am doing my best to get the word out and help medical professionals find the guidance that they need and have the education to really empower them to step into this industry, which can be a scary step. And even create outsource programs so practitioners that don't want to learn it and don't want to answer questions or only have 15 minutes with their patient, like most doctors, can just say, oh, we'll send them to you. You take care of them. They get the benefits, and I don't have to touch it. I don't have to talk about it. So I'm really trying to meet the needs of both patients and medical professionals through my work.
And, you know, dealing, because I live here in Ohio, which, you know, I'm right next to Indiana, and we're constantly fighting to help get their access, and for John Patrick to be there in Indiana and to have Eric just continue to say that he needs more, you know, research and it needs to be looked at more, I think is absolutely ridiculous. He needs to look at John Patrick University and find his answers there, and then help the people of Indiana by giving them some kind of a program.
Yeah.
You know,
well, there's tens of thousands of research studies, and these are like reputable studies, completely valid. NIH, they're not articles out of High Times magazine, which is the stigma of sports speaking. And although we do have a lot of research, and we are just scratching the surface in our understanding of this plant, but we have enough experience to know that it has an unsurpassed safety profile. So there's really no reason why we can't just continue what we've basically been doing which is following the patient outcomes in the case studies and saying, wow, it can do this. Let's figure out why. Let's do some research on this, which is often what's happening. And so I say that the patient outcomes and case studies are something to pay attention to as well, because they often prompt the research system on cannabis, thanks to prohibition, of course.
Right. And again, I think that, and I want people, the listeners and people watching, to know that if you have questions or concerns or anything like I posted here for Stormy, if you, you know, please definitely reach out to Jenna. She will definitely, you know, help you in whatever way that she possibly can, which is not going to be wrong, trust me. So people can reach out and you know, anything that they need through cannabis, because Stormy here has, she wants to talk to you herself about her daughter and her severe anxiety. So definitely please reach out to Jenna about any questions you have or concerns, and you're more than welcome to always call in. Again, and the call-in number, if you want to call in and talk, is 516-418-5539. Now, again, I've got to throw this in here. The show is partially brought to you by the Holistic Cloud. So if you're in the Ohio area, in Northeast Ohio part, you can always go to Bel Air, Ohio. And when you're in Bel Air, Ohio, you can go to 3408 Belmont Street and give them a check out for all of your holistic needs. And if you can't make it there in Ohio, you can always find them on the internet at www.theholisticcloud.com. So give Billy Blaze a chance and pick his brain if you get the chance to go there. Now, I wanted to touch a little bit about, because you did, you kind of started talking about it, but you help producers create the optimal cannabis products, resulting with the highest, producing CBD. And you have top 10 CBD design of 2020 using your formula. So you want to discuss that a little bit? And I know that you started talking about that, but then it went to something else. So just cover that a little bit.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to get ahead of you there. So this is, you know, working with patients, sometimes they would access their different medicines or pay for, you know, different products before they called me and they didn't know. And it was pretty frustrating to see patients, you know, getting taken by deceptive marketing and thinking that they had the best of the best thing. And it really was, you know, stripped away products, which, you know, I always say friends don't let friends use Epidiolex, which is, you know, you mentioned the Marinol earlier. They're kind of in the same boat where they're really not optimal. What we find is that optimal formulations are those that are really concentrating and honoring the whole spectrum of the cannabis flower as closely as possible in the final product. So that's the whole plant spectrum part. And then, you know, the flow criteria kind of came from that, where it's flower derived. You know, we don't want industrial hemp or the male counterpart of the hemp plant, just because it's a better bioaccumulator, so there's higher likelihood of toxins from the soil ending up in the final product. It's also not as potent as the flower. It has very few flowers on it. So we want flower derived. We want lab tested. This is to verify potency and purity. I had so many patients that would call me and say, I got this medicine from my neighbor and I don't know the strain and I don't know how they extracted it. It's not lab tested. We don't really know what's in it. So there's a lot of problems with that. You know, Rick Simpson, bless his heart, I love that he started this movement of using cannabis for cancer, but I don't agree fully with some of his recommendations on how to make RSO. He recommends very toxic solvents like naphtha and acetone and isopropyl alcohol. That if there is some leftover in the final product, it could actually make a sick patient even worse. So it's very, very, very important to have lab testing. Also, labs reflect what is the cannabinoid content. Ideally, what is the terpene content? This can really help you to target what use that profile might be best for. Like I said earlier, not all profiles are good for pain. Not all profiles are good for anxiety. Some profiles could increase anxiety if you take the wrong thing. You can't take something stimulating and expect it to help you sleep. So these, you know, there's hundreds of compounds in the cannabis flower, and so thousands of possible combinations. And what I've done with producers is, you know, help them meet the flow criteria, the O being organic, the W whole plant spectrum. So the food grade ethanol extracted is the preferred, or infused. And I think butane is like a close second to ethanol. But we really want all of those compounds in there, and then we want to make sure that the profile, you know, the terpenes and cannabinoids in that profile are supported by research for the specific use that the patient is needing. And so an example would be like for a neurological blend, we want myrcene in there. Myrcene is a terpene or essential oil also found in mangoes. It actually helps the cannabinoids cross the blood-brain barrier, so it's going to get it up where it's needed. And then we have linalool in there, which is found in lavender and is supported by research for having anti-anxiety benefits in its own right. So when you combine those things and you're really deliberate about it, you know, the patient is much more likely to have success with their CBD. And the current success rate nationwide is about 6%. And so this is really why I started the Cannabis Nurse Approved Program, and we have that free nurse guidance line. So any consumer can call and say, these are my issues, and we'll probe the main barriers to success, which also includes pharmaceutical interactions. So anybody taking pharmaceuticals, especially if you have grapefruit interaction warnings on them, do not take CBD without talking to a medical professional and having those treatments. Very, very important.
Right. It's really important to understand and know how and what is in your medicine, because a lot of it, like you said, you know, and it's strain specific, you know, you've got to figure out and find, and it's not a 100%, you know, you've got to test and find out what's best for you and how it's best for you. It does seem that we do have a caller online, so we're going to flip over here real quick and check in. And good evening and welcome to Cannaviews. You're live on air. Hello.
Oh, I'm here.
Yep. All right. Good deal. Good to you. How are you doing tonight?
Well, we're doing okay. Pretty much a pain-free day. Didn't have to use hardly anything today. So things are getting good.
Well, that's a good deal. How's the weather there in Missouri? How's things holding up there?
Oh, it's going down in the 20s tonight. So it's been cold and dry mostly. And she was talking about essential oils. I developed a NeuroSoothe with 15 essential oils and CBD isolate, and it can be used orally or topically, and topically it takes away the pain on most everything in just minutes, and you have no side effects from it, no itching, no nothing. And the research that they're doing, if they're doing that, is headed in the right direction.
Absolutely. And I make a pain topical as well. You know, I've used it myself extensively. And same thing. It's, you know, the cannabis. But I use a concentrate, so it's a whole spectrum cannabis, not an isolate, which can make a difference for what's ingested. I don't know so much about topicals, if that's the big deal. But with whole plant versus isolate, what we find is that whole plant works more effectively at much lower doses, the tune of 25% to 30% of the dose of isolate, and it's much more predictable in the body in its response. And the research on that is looking at the inflammatory response in the body. And what they found is that with isolate, as you increase the dose, the anti-inflammatory response would peak in the body and then drop off and stop working at higher doses. So that makes it really tricky for patients to find their sweet spot, because the therapeutic margin is so narrow, where with whole plant spectrum, if you take more, you have more anti-inflammatory effects. So those are the reasons that I recommend whole plant spectrum, but I am a huge advocate of, you know, taking the cannabis and combining it with essential oils. I do that in my own lotion, and the terpenes that are naturally derived, and they give the cannabis flower, as you're growing it, the smell, they give it its taste. Those terpenes are the same building blocks that we find in essential oils, and a lot of them have research-supported benefits in their own right, separate from the cannabinoids. So combining them, you can get some really powerful results. And I'm so glad you found something that works well for you.
All right.
Yeah, it's funny because the way I got into it after I went to some classes, because I've been to nursing school, and then I started going to classes for the cannabinoid system, and it just clicked in my head at the time, once I learned that, about the receptors and everything like that. And I wanted to prove from the Christian standpoint that essential oils and cannabis or CBD was authentic from the Bible, because they mention all of them, like frankincense, myrrh. I mean, just a whole bunch of them. I put 15 essential oils together over a 2-year period for myself because I was in such ridiculous pain. And it didn't just take and lower my pain and make it lower and lower the longer I used it. I mean, it's actually reversing some of my arthritis. The big bumps on my thumbs have almost gone away. It's just bringing new life to me, and my health hasn't been any better than it has been in the last 40 years as it is today. It's amazing. And cannabis, you know, I believe in that too. I think that, you know, this president ain't going to do it because he's the one that started a war with Nixon on the plant itself. So, in Missouri, they're getting ready to put to vote the new initiative that will bring adult use and just completely end prohibition, basically, is what we're trying for in Missouri, which will drop all charges, release all the prisoners that are cannabis prisoners, and expunge and clean all the records like they've never done it before. And I'm hoping and I'm praying that that happens, because then that would take me out of having to go, you know, to court support and all this other stuff for these other people. Zach's case, his prosecutor just retired. I mean, holy cow. His case and Adele's case have been going on for like 3 years now. And they're just right. Not going anywhere. But
yeah,
I preach,
you know, it should be a good sign if this prosecutor retires, and maybe the next prosecutor won't be as stringent as the prosecutor was for, you know, to start with.
Yeah, the prosecutor that he had, as far as I know, I was at the court when she did it. She did not want to prosecute the marijuana case at all. And I mean, I'm guessing because the judge or whoever, the sheriff in that county is just a little bit on the crazy side, kept pushing it. But they didn't have a case to begin with. It's the same with Adele and them. They're just persecuting them over, as you see all over the news today, because she was running for office. And her husband was running for office, and this was a way they took and stopped them from running for office at this time anyway.
Right. Their case was politically motivated to ruin them, to get them to stop running, because of the majority was leaning their way because of the stance that they had in their platform and what they spoke about. So, yeah, Adele and Aaron's case was absolutely politically motivated. Dana, thank you for joining us. How can people get a hold of you if they want to help you in Missouri?
They can find me as Dana Wayne Bland or Bland W. Dana on a couple pages in Facebook. And I'm fixing here in the next month or two, I'm going to open up a new page as the Hope for Change and the Interprohibition page itself, so I can invite people to come there, and that way people can find it easier. And praying that we're teaching them right here in this state, like what we talked about last night on the show, was that when they arrested us and we stood up against them and recognized that they were breaking our constitutional rights and stuff like that, we didn't give up. And they finally gave up. It only took a year, lucky for us. And then within a year later, the prosecutor admitted in the newspaper that they had a constitutional issue and stuff, and I haven't really heard of too many cases happening since then here in this county anyway.
All right. Well, that's a good thing. And I'm glad you and Sue came out of it in good health, and the way you guys did, you know, was always glad to support you guys, what you were going through. Thank you, Dana, for joining us tonight. It's always your pleasure to have on the show. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, sir. You have a good one. That's Dana Bland. You guys definitely find him. If you're in Missouri and you're going through something, you can always hit him up. That's the Hope for Change and End of Prohibition Court Support, the Oregon chapter, the Missouri chapter of the Human Solution International. So definitely give Dana a check-in. Now, you know, something I real quick I'm going to cover is Dana Daniel – who is here in Ohio, wanted to definitely, you know, cover again how the they'll fund gun laws, but they won't fund for human rights. I think they're going to pass on this bill that we've been trying to get passed to alleviate HB 523 because our program is horrible. I think any program that does not allow their patients to grow for themselves that are dependent on dispensaries for their whole health, especially when you're limited, and Ohio limits you horribly to a very silly minimum of 8 ounces for a 45-day period. Anybody that's in the industry, anybody that knows cannabis, knows that is not a way for somebody to treat themselves. So I just wanted to touch and ask you before we go your ideas on that, Jenna, about home grow for patients themselves. Something happened. You're muted. No, I'm not muted on my side. Yeah, for some reason, can't hear you. Kind of crazy here. Let's try to remove stream. We'll add her back into the stream. Boom, how's that? Can you hear me now? Okay, yeah, nope, I can't hear you. You know, that's horrible. I don't know what happened. Nope, still nothing. Well, listen, you guys, definitely go over if you have any questions or if you have any questions or anything like that or concerns and you just want to talk with Jenna, please definitely jump over there and talk with her. Send her a message. excuse me, I'm sorry. But send her a message because she's always more than welcome anybody to contact her. And let's see if we got her back live yet. Nope, no volume. We cannot hear you. I'm not sure.
How about now?
Oh, yep, I can hear you now. Hello.
Volume. We cannot hear you. I'm not sure.
Yep, I can hear you now. I can. Yep, can hear you.
Anything.
All right. Well, anyway, I just wanted to get your thought on real quick on you know, what you thought about home grow for patient use.
Sorry, I don't know.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you.
You can hear me now. Okay, that often. Sorry, I don't know what happened. I didn't touch anything, I promise.
I don't know, that's fine.
What Dana said about you know, biblical use of essential oils, and I just posted about this the other day. I don't know if you saw it, Glenn, but on Facebook I posted about how they found residual flour in the anointing oils that Jesus used for his healing. And so I actually posted it with a caption, what would Jesus do? He would heal the masses with cannabis. It's what he did.
Right.
So, I mean, I find that just fascinating. And you can see that. I have a couple pages, either Jana Champagne on Facebook or Cannabis Nurse Jana. I think it's on both of those pages. So, yeah, definitely, Dana, that's something you're welcome to use if that's helpful.
Now, I'm going to disappear for one quick second from screen, but I'm still going to be able to talk. I have to grab this cord.
Yeah, I'm very spoiled being in Oregon. Anybody here over age 21 can grow or plant. No paperwork.
Now, where is that at? Damn it. Well, I'm still live and I'm still on the air, so I don't know what happened with us being broke off with the live video. So I can see that I'm still swirling and trying to connect, but...
was a patient and very quickly progressed to growing for myself and my daughter to make it more affordable, and you know, started caregiving for patients, and that was sort of my entry back into the market. You know, as a nurse educating patients, was to first learn about it, and truly from yeah, olive oil is a great oil to infuse cannabis in. The olive oil, and as long as you have the lab test on the flower and you kind of know the potency, you can usually kind of figure out what the end product is. You know, although we always recommend lab testing of the end products and just to make sure. Let's see, 1200 milligrams of THCA and THC to a pain patient's brain. This is from John Prince. THCA is a powerhouse for anti-inflammatory effects. This is the first on my daughter with autism. It's not intoxicating. So it alleviates a lot of those concerns about using cannabis in childhood and adolescence. And it has something like 20 times the anti-inflammatory effect of aspirin. So I've actually seen it replace things like immunosuppressants for autoimmune and what's what I'm trying to think of right off. Gosh, there's some really heavy-duty, you know, betamethasone and prednisone. I've seen THC replace those for patients effectively with far fewer side effects. So harmful to your body otherwise. So it's a great alternative. Yeah, milligrams. John, I have to disagree with you there. It's not about milligrams. Like I said before, with optimal milligrams, you get the same benefit effects as, you know, as 75-80% more dosing with isolate. It really does make a difference. It can literally make or break response and a patient's ability to reach to be successful with their cannabis therapy. Single therapeutic quality formulation, you can actually use lower dosing, lower milligrams to get the same benefits or effects. I'd love to talk with you too. Feel free to reach out. JanetChampion.com is my immediate kit website, or Cannabis Nurse Approved, and we'd be happy to discuss your daughter's case. Let's see. Yeah, OxyContin is the devil, not a fan. You know, pharmaceuticals, unfortunately, own our Congress. They are the number one contributor to congressmen and women, their campaign contributions. And I think this is a large part of why federally we haven't seen much progress in improving cannabis legalization and access federally. Because the pharma contributions to Congress are more than double the next leading industry, which is oil and gas, just to put it in perspective. So it really is a pretty big... a big barrier that we've been fighting. And in 1988, if you look up the history of cannabis, Judge Francis Young, I believe his name was, I'm bad with names, so don't quote me on that, but he, in 1988, he agreed with us that cannabis met zero of the three criteria for Schedule 1 placement, and that it should be descheduled completely. It's unsurpassed safety profile, which is one, no additional uses, which obviously our government holds a patent plural now for cannabis as medicine, so they know it has medicinal uses, and the third is high potential for addiction, which we know, you know, through studies that cannabis is less addictive than things like sugar and coffee, which of course are freely available to people. So when you look at it objectively, that's, you know, obviously it's just not in the best interest of patients, it's in the best interest of pharmaceutical profits that cannabis remains. Thank you, Stormy. I'd love to talk with you, too. Feel free to reach out to the prohibition state. I don't know if Glenn is coming back. I don't know if he messaged me or anything. Oh, JanetChampion.com is my immediate kit website. Less addictive than things like sugar and coffee, which, of course, are freely available to people. So when you look at it objectively, that's, you know, obviously, it's just not in the best interest of patients as the pharmaceutical profits that cannabis remains in more of a prohibition state. I don't know if
Glenn is coming back. I don't mean back. I don't know if he messaged me. I don't even have his phone number to reach out. Were there any more questions? Were there any more questions from anybody? Feel free.
Yes, well, I'm still live on CannaView, so I'm not sure what's going on, but I appreciate you guys joining us, and thank you very much, and have a good night. So, yeah, I'm not sure what's I'm not sure, but I'm showing that I'm still live. So, yeah, as soon as I can get connected back with Jenna, we're going to finish the show up here in just a quick second, which is kind of crazy. Connecting back to the show. So, yeah, it's showing that I'm still live and I'm still back on StreamCloud. So I'm not sure I'm still here. But I do want to thank everybody for being part of it. And sharing and being here. So I do thank everybody again. And I do want to thank Jenna for being on the show. Again, I'm so sorry about the technical issues and the things that will happen. Until next week, you guys have a great weekend. And a great time, so thank you very much. And I'm going to end here on the broadcast. Thank you again for a great show.